is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Jim Saras from the Saras Skills Academy, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Hey, Hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. Hopping on to talk NBA Finals Game 4. Kind of a strange game, Jay.
Yeah, it was strange. At times it felt like the Heat were in complete control of the game, and then all of a sudden it was just like, I don't know, Jimmy Butler, he was an enigma tonight. Like, because in the first half, he looked unstoppable. He started 5-for-5, looked really, really good, and then he just didn't look like, and even especially at the end of the game, you know, he just kind of looked funky. I don't know. He played 43 minutes. Maybe he's getting worn out. And he still scored 22 points, but he started 5-for-5. The rest of the game, 3-for-12. And jacking up threes, I know the one was kind of because they needed a three-pointer at that point. But I just don't
understand. Missed that big three from the right corner down two.
Yeah.
That was a big miss. I mean, that was a good shot. He had to take it. He was wide open.
Yeah, and the vice versa. LeBron was terrible in the first half, and you and I texted at halftime. Terrible, and Jeff, I got to give Jeff Van Gundy props when he makes a really valid point. He said it right at the end of the half, and I kind of reiterated it to you, that the fact that the Lakers were up two at halftime and LeBron played terrible, you had to feel good for the Lakers had to feel good about that, right? I mean, I just don't understand, and the bottom line is, I think this further proves the point that LeBron is the MVP of this team. He played terrible in the first half. They were only up two, and then he carried them in the second half. I think he had 6 points at halftime, right? Is that right?
I think he had eight.
Well, it means he scored 20 points in the second half, and he was, I mean, he was all over the floor. 8 of 16 from the field, 2 of 5 from the threes. He shot a few threes he shouldn't have shot, but the 1-3 they didn't count because of the foul on
the Bam foul. Backing up into AD grabbing his shorts.
I mean, he went 28-12-8 again, almost a triple double. And you know, I know AD went 22-9-4, but once again, and he had AD's big impact that was on the defensive end tonight with the 4 blocks. I thought he played really, really well on the defensive end, but
he did.
But LeBron's the driving force behind this team, and anything needed to be proven to us, it was proven in the second half of this game because no one else was doing much of anything for most of the second half.
Unless you base it on plus minus.
I know. We're not looking. Listen, I'm looking at his plus minus. He's minus two. But
he's the only guy in the starting lineup that was a net negative.
So you're saying he's the worst player on the team if you're following plus minus?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying I agree with you 100% that LeBron clearly drives this ship, and Yeah, Davis made some big plays. The three he made down in the last minute, huge three. And defensively, he was a monster all night. But LeBron just has the ball in his hands so much, is orchestrating so much of what the Lakers do, is built around LeBron creating those mismatches, using the screen roll to get the matchup he wants, and then just attacking and finding the open man. And he did that repeatedly, time after time after time. And quite honestly, you know, you look at the stats from these other guys. I thought, really, the guy that I thought was, well, there was two. I mean, Rondo in the second half, I mean, I know he only scored 2 points, but he kind of was like the mini LeBron out there, just finding the right matchup and getting the ball to guys that needed to get the ball. And then I thought KCP was really good tonight in the first half especially. And then he made a couple big plays in the second half as well. And when the Lakers get some contributions from guys other than LeBron and AD, they're going to be really, really tough to beat. And you had, although, like I said, Rondo only scored 2 points, I thought he was really impactful with his playmaking. And then you got some good contributions from just about everybody else who played, with the exception of Dwight Howard, who only played 8 minutes. But everybody else, I felt like, had a moment where they contributed something. Caruso had a couple moments. Kuzma made the one big three right after LeBron had yelled at him for whatever defensive lapse LeBron thought that Kuzma had. Markieff Morris made a shot or two. I already said Caldwell Pope. Danny Green actually hit a couple shots tonight for the first time in the whole series. So they got just enough from those other guys.
They got 8 quality minutes out of Dwight Howard.
That's right. That's right. LeBron and AD with 50. So they were right on the cusp of, I think that's where you got to keep them if you're going to have a chance. And Miami had a chance. They had opportunities down the last 3 minutes to make some shots and make some plays, and they didn't, and the Lakers did, and that was the difference. I think your point about Jimmy Butler, I think, was well taken. Again, he was very, very close. Again, he was one assist away from his second straight triple-double, so it's hard to fault him. But I do think that in the second half, I felt like he was passing up shots that he needed to take. And like you said, maybe he was tired from going back-to-back 43 or 44-minute games in the finals. But I still think if he's got to take shots. He's got to look to create. It was almost like, I mean, which guy, who on the Heat became the creator? Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero. And Tyler Hero, I thought Tyler Hero played a good game tonight. I really did.
He made
a few boneheaded plays. Like that one shot he took wasn't a very good shot. It was down the stretch. But then he hit that other one that was really, really good. It kept him in the game. I think it got him down to the 4-point lead. Don't look at Tyler Hero's plus minus, Mike.
Or Jimmy Butler's. Both of those guys, Butler minus 11, Hero minus 13.
And I mean, yet, Hero's big issue is his defense is terrible. Like,
yeah, his
there
D
were
is
there
terrible.
Were 3 possessions that Caruso just took up to the hole. And listen, if Alex Caruso is taking you to the hole with ease, that's an issue.
Funny because I thought he did a good job in the Boston series, and even against the Bucks.
Yeah, but like, Kemba Walker, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. I thought he was better defensively. Like, I didn't expect him to be as bad defensively in this series as he's been.
Yeah. Well, how about this one, Mike? I'm about to say something. Who was the third most valuable Laker tonight, Mike?
The third most valuable Laker? If I was voting for it, I would have voted for KCP because I think he, when they were struggling, I think he kind of kept them afloat.
Okay, so I would say KCP too. The other person that I think of was Rondo.
And yeah, Rondo in the fourth quarter was huge. I mean,
he was vintage. Vintage.
His playmaking, he played like LeBron. He was playing like a mini LeBron in that he was just, again, finding the right matchup and then attacking. I know he only made the one layup, but he just did a lot of good things. And he had those 2 or 3 big offensive rebounds on long rebounds that came to him, secured the Lakers extra possessions, and that really helped to make the difference.
Yeah, I think Rondo just he was kind of like, yeah, like you said, the mini LeBron. I thought he really impacted the game, and he had the second best plus minus in the Lakers, and he only had 2 points. So, I mean, that's pretty powerful. And I was really surprised. You know, I know they put him in the game late, and they replaced him for Morris, I think. And my question was I was thinking in my head for a little bit there, why is Rondo not out there in the fourth quarter? Like, it was like 7 minutes, 7 minutes or 8 minutes left in the game, and Markieff Morris is out there, and Alex Caruso is out there. Like, Rondo should be in one of those two spots for the last 8 minutes, and they eventually put him back in. But that was going to be my point, and then when they put him back in, I was like, well, crap, I guess I can't say what I was going to say there. So I think, you know, I think Rondo was really good. And I've been supremely impressed with his shooting. And I know tonight he did not shoot the ball well, but he picked his spots. And it wasn't like he took any bad shots, because I think like all his shots that he didn't make were still good ones. Would you agree with that?
He never takes bad shots. I mean, he might take shots that you'd prefer him not to take if you're his team, but it's not like Rondo's not driving into the lane and shooting a step back 12 footer over three guys. He's not shooting contested threes off the dribble. The shots that he takes are drives to the basket where he's getting all the way to the rim, or he's shooting basically wide open jump shots because no one's guarding him. Yep. And so, you know, he's not going to take bad shots, but the thing that he was really good at tonight, and it's the thing that he's been good at throughout his career, is just being able to find the right guy at the right time. And then he's always been a sneaky good rebounder for a guard, and he clearly did that tonight. Got a couple of key offensive rebounds that really extended possessions in the fourth quarter, and he was good. Look, I said it before, and I think it's a pretty good description that he almost functioned like a secondary LeBron from a playmaking standpoint. And really, when you look at the last 3 minutes of the game, LeBron had the one fast break where he pushed it up and kicked it over into the corner to KCP for that big three on the break. But otherwise, it felt like the ball was in Rondo's hands really for that last 3 minutes. And LeBron was almost, I don't know, a decoy, for lack of a better way of saying it. And then AD obviously steps up with the big three to kind of seal it and put it away. Miami just struggled to create offense. And that's where I think the problem with Jimmy Butler lied tonight, was they needed him to generate more offense. And I think the fact that he's so reluctant to shoot threes, and he didn't make any tonight, and so clearly there's a reason why, if you're not shooting threes, there's a reason why you're not shooting them, because you're not confident they're going to go in and they're probably not good shots for you. Yeah. But in today's game, it just feels like when the Lakers are ducking underneath screens and he's got 12 or 14 feet of space and he's not going to shoot that three-pointer, it's such a liability. You think about guys like Simmons, or I often think of like Evan Turner as a guy who just doesn't shoot threes and wants to go to the basket and wants to play in the mid-range. And that's great, but in these kinds of high-pressure situations, when the defense is giving you that three-pointer, it's a flaw in your game that you can't make it. And I thought he also got to the basket a few times and was right there and could have finished, and instead kicked it out. I know we talked about that, maybe it was game two, where same thing, like he was right at the rim and then LeBron swallowed him up in one of those plays where they showed a slow motion replay. I thought tonight there was a couple plays, same thing, where he was right at the rim, should have taken the shot, and instead he was kicking it out. And Miami just doesn't have, they just don't have the playmaker. I mean, they miss Dragic hugely, because Dragic is a guy who can get into the lane, who can then find the right guy and kind of play that Rondo LeBron role for Miami. And when you ask Hero and Robinson to do that, they're just not going to get it. And like, Kendrick Nunn didn't play well tonight. He's not really ready for that moment. I mean, I think he was two for 11 from the field, and he didn't do it. No assists. I mean, again, he didn't kill them tonight, but he certainly didn't help them. And they just struggled to score because they didn't have anybody who could get into lane and create and penetrate. And that's the role Dragic plays. And then again, if Dragic is out there, it's one more guy who you trust to knock down big shots in big moments. So I would have liked to have seen Jimmy Butler, the fact that he only took 17 shots, I would have liked to have seen him take 8 to 10 more shots, just because he's their best option. And the fact that he didn't, I think, cost him, because then you were putting the ball in somebody else's hands who's really not a creator. And that put a lot of pressure on Hero. And I think you saw that a little bit, where, you know, he had some turnovers, he had some shots that maybe weren't the best quality looks that Miami could have got, but they didn't really have much else to go to.
Yep. Did you see what happened tonight again, Mike? That shot that went in at the buzzer? The Tyler Hero shot?
What do you know
what I'm talking about?
I don't know, Mike? What you mean. I don't know what you mean.
The backdoor cover. It happened again tonight.
Oh, did it? No, I didn't. I wasn't aware of the line tonight.
It was a 7.5 point spread, and
he hit the three,
or a 6.5 point spread. It was a 6.5 point spread. The Lakers were up 9, and Hero jacked up the 3 as time expired, and it went in, and it was a 6 point. They only lost by 6.
Yeah, basketball garbage time. I don't think it's probably as frequent as football garbage time touchdowns, but yeah, two games in a row, twice in like three games. I guess with all the money you and I are laying down in Vegas on these games, you know, it's I'm surprised we're not leading with the gambling angle.
Yeah. Oh, you know. Anyways, I guess what we talk about is, what do we think happens game 5? Is this over? Is it done? Are we going to have a game 6, Mike?
Well, I think you can look at it one of two ways. I think, again, I'm guessing Dragic isn't coming back. Bam, I thought, looked good tonight and played well, coming back off sitting 2 games.
Did you hear what they said, like, the push-up thing? That's what like they used to test to see whether he could play.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting to hear him talk about it.
Like, yeah, for sure. I don't know. I mean, Bam played well. I guess... I don't expect the next game to be a blowout. I expect it to be very similar to tonight's game. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game and going to come down to the wire, and Miami will have a chance to be able to win it. But in all honesty, I kind of expect the Lakers to finish them off in game 4 or in game 5 and win the title. I just don't think, without Dragic, they just don't have that dynamic creator that can set other guys up. And when Jimmy Butler has to be that guy, I'd rather have Jimmy Butler finishing as well as he's been passing the ball. I think they need him to be in an aggressive mindset trying to score. And it's hard for him to be the facilitator and the scorer and guarding LeBron James for 43 minutes on the other end of the floor. That's a lot to ask of one guy. And he's done it really well the last 2 games. Not quite well enough tonight, but I expect the game to be close, but I kind of think that, barring something unforeseen, I think the Lakers are gonna win that game because they just have too much. LeBron and AD are just very difficult for anybody to match up with, and Miami might be able to hang with them, but eventually they wear you down. And if they get anything from the supporting cast, they're gonna win.
Yep. I think the thing is this too, Mike. I'm not going to get conspiracy theorist on you, but I am a little bit.
All right.
Okay. The game's not playing till Friday night. The Lakers do not, or the NBA does not want game 6, because if they don't win, the Lakers don't win game 5, they're not going to win game 6, right? Or they're going to win game 6, I mean. If they don't win game 5, they're going to win game 6. I don't see this going to game 7. Okay.
All right, continue with your conspiracy. I'm not sure where you're going here.
The yet. NFL plays on Sunday. Does the NBA really want Game 6 to be running up against the NFL and get steamrolled by them? Or do they want to just have the season end on Friday, enjoy the spotlight, because the only thing else that's on is playoff baseball and the playoff baseball.
Hey, you get one more game of ad revenue. At one game of ad revenue is better than $0 of ad revenue if you don't play. So
I suppose
I would guess they still want to play. And I don't know, at this point, ratings, I don't even know what it means anymore, because the way that people consume television and games compared to even 10 years ago, 5 years ago, is so completely different.
Okay.
In terms of how people are, don't you think? I mean, the way people are consuming content and watching highlights and on their phones and doing all these different things, the NBA is never going to catch up to football just because of the event nature of a football game, that there's only 16 games in a regular season. And it's just never going to catch it. So if I was the NBA, I wouldn't be that worried about what the ratings are or aren't. And not that they're rooting for game 6 or game 7 or anybody to win, but I don't think they care. I mean, I think they'd probably, all things being equal, I think they'd rather have extra games, because extra games means extra revenue from whatever advertising they can get for final games. So,
okay. I just thought.
That's what I would say.
Okay. I was curious. I think it's over on Friday, though. I think it's done. I think it's toast.
Yeah. Is there anything Miami could do? Like, it's interesting that they didn't, you know, they won.
Can Dwayne Wade come out of retirement and go vintage Dwayne Wade?
Yeah. Well, you think about, like, how much they played the zone basically the entire game in game two. And we saw it maybe for, I don't know, three or four possessions in game three. And then tonight, I feel like in the first half, maybe they played it two or three possessions. And other than that, we haven't seen it at all. And it's probably worked better. I mean, I think that especially if you had continued to give LeBron looks at that zone over these last three games, you know, if they played that much zone the whole time, LeBron was going to figure that thing out. I mean, he had already figured it out in the first game where he saw it all the time. And so I think them going back to man was probably the right decision. I just don't know what else they can really do. I mean, you have to continue to force those other guys to do things, and they only need a mediocre performance out of their bench in order for them to win games.
Yep.
It has to be a below average effort by those guys in order for LA to get beat, because Davis and LeBron are just so good.
Yep, I agree. I think it's over. We'll be interested to see what happens, but we'll probably on Friday night be talking about the Los Angeles Lakers as the NBA champions.
This team's not a great team though, right? You look back in the history of the league. This team is not a great team.
To that point though, I think you could make the argument this might have the best 1-2 punch a team's ever had. Could you make that argument? Like,
yeah, you could make it. I mean, I think you'd lose.
Well, you're going to say to Jordan Pippen?
I mean, I think you have to.
You think if AD's career is over, he's better than he's going to be higher ranked than Pippen, or no?
I mean, he's got a long way to go.
Okay.
I mean, at some point here, if he stays with the Lakers, and LeBron stays with the Lakers, again, we say it all the time, but at some point. Father Time is going to begin to chip away at what LeBron is, and AD's only 27. So at some point, although we've made the argument here over and over again that LeBron is the straw that stirs the drink for the Lakers, that's going to have to flip sometime. And if Anthony Davis ends up being the driving force behind another Lakers title or two more Lakers titles at some point in the future, then maybe you can start to make that argument. At this point, if they win this year, he's still Scotty to, you know, MJ's, you know, to LeBron's MJ. You know what I mean? He's not. I mean, I think the ship has sailed that LeBron's going to win the Finals MVP if it continues this way. I don't see, unless LeBron goes for 6 points in the next game and AD goes off for 50. In a clinching game, I just don't see how Davis wins the Finals MVP the way things are shaping up right now. So I don't know. I mean, they're clearly, LeBron is as good. I mean, again, we said it, he might be the best player in the league still, but he's not at his absolute peak. So it's hard to say if these guys had played together their whole career, if Anthony Davis was in Cleveland during that run, then maybe, but I don't know. I'd still pick Pippen or Jordan. I might even take Shaq and Kobe for the one. Forget which year it was. The 2000, maybe the year they went 15-1. The year they went 16-1 in the playoffs. I might even take that duo, just for 1 year. Now maybe over the course of their careers, you could maybe argue. Although you put up the career numbers of, I think still at this point you would say that both Shaq and Kobe have had greater careers than Davis.
Far. It's not even close
to this point. I mean, Davis has a long way to go to get to where those guys
are. By the way,
but
one more thing about Davis, though. Are we, like, I make the joke with you a lot about this, that he's made of glass. Are we, when you're watching the Lakers play, it's not if Anthony Davis is going to get somehow injured during the game, it's when he's going to get injured, right? Like,
well, it feels like he goes down and Like, LeBron goes down all the time.
I think we've seen it
for 17 years, though. We've seen LeBron go down for 17 years, and it doesn't matter how long he lays there or what faces he makes or whatever. You know, as soon as the whistle blows and the next live action play is going, that LeBron's going to be playing. I mean, there's no question.
Take the play tonight, okay? Like, right before AD got wiped out by his own teammate, okay, which Butler got away with a shove there, by the way, but regardless, okay, LeBron literally was going to, landed so awkwardly. I don't know if you remember what play I'm talking about.
I know exactly what play you're talking
landed
about.
Landed so awkwardly, and I was like, ooh, that couldn't have felt good on his knee. And he was back up playing. AD literally, falls.
Caruso banged into his knee. It looked, when I first saw it, I was like, ooh, that could be something. Because it was kind of like one of those football injuries where your leg is planted and a guy rolls up on you and there's just nowhere for your leg to go because your foot and leg are kind of anchored in the ground.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of, was kind of like a football hit. But yeah, every time he goes down,
you brace yourself.
I don't necessarily expect him to get up, let's put it that way. So, like, even when that play happened tonight, all of a sudden you're like, man, if he can't go, even if they pull this game out and somehow he's incapacitated for the next game, now that makes a huge, huge, huge difference. I mean, this team, you take Anthony Davis off this team because of an injury, and things get real dicey real fast.
Yeah, okay. It's time for our favorite segment of the night.
What's Magic got for us?
I'm going to read a tweet, and I'm going to have you fill in the blank.
Okay.
LeBron James led the Lakers with 28 points and 12 rebounds, but the hero of the game was?
Rajon Rondo.
Nope.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
KCP, scoring 15 points and 5 assists.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of agree with Magic, because as impactful as Rondo was in the fourth quarter, I do think in that first half when they were struggling, that's when Pope really played well and did some good things.
So, all right, next tweet.
All right.
Give AD credit for a strong defense on Jimmy Butler the entire game. He had 4 blocks and shut the lane down defensively. He finished with 22 points to help lead the Lakers to a blank victory.
Close victory.
Oh, no. It's even better than that, Mike. He's been hanging out with the president's fact checkers.
Okay.
102-93 victory.
All right, there you go. Hey, he already had it ready to go before Heroes 3 went in. Magic had it pre-planned, man. Maybe he's using a service where he's got them typed out before they actually go out. He's not typing it live on his phone. He's scheduling his tweets.
All right, I got one more for you, Mike.
All right, I'm ready.
Let's give Coach Vogel a lot of credit for his game adjustment to have AD.
What did he have AD do? To have AD, let's see. What adjustment could he possibly have made with AD? To have AD, I have no idea.
Guard Jimmy Butler.
All right, there you go.
There were times in the game that he was guarding Jimmy Butler. Was he guarding him the whole game?
I don't think so. It's so, again, you could talk about matchups all you want, but the reality is with all the screen roll and all the switching that you can look at, all right, who starts on who after the jump ball and the initial possession. But then after that, it just gets so scrambled because every possession is just screen roll trying to get the matchup that you want and then the other team trying to scramble to get out of that matchup and get guys back so they can cover everything. So I think who you guard initially in the possession is a lot less important than who's guarding who in the last 5 seconds of the possession. That's probably the more important. So that's probably who's really guarding who, because that's when the offense ends up taking place, is after the screen roll, not before.
All right. One thing not related to the Lakers, Mike, or the finals. Did you see the hiring that happened at 8 p.m. tonight?
I saw Alvin Gentry got hired as a Kings assistant, right?
Yeah, associate head coach for the Kings. So I didn't know if you had anything on that.
I'm
not surprised, right?
Yeah, you knew Alvin Gentry was going to get another job somewhere doing something. I mean, he's been in the league for however many number of years and has had numerous head coaching opportunities. I'd be surprised if he gets another head coaching opportunity at any point, but you knew he was going to wind up somewhere. So, I mean, I don't really have a thought about what he brings or doesn't bring to the Kings. I think of Alvin Gentry as being kind of an up-tempo style coach, which is kind of what people thought Luke Walton was when he left the Lakers. And then Luke Walton kind of slowed them down last year. It seems like with De'Aaron Fox, if he's really your centerpiece guy, that you'd want to build a team and an offense that's going to go, go, go. And so maybe they're bringing in Alvin Gentry with the idea that they go back to playing more up-tempo in Sacramento. But yep. Who knows?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's a good move for them. I mean, I don't see it hurting them at all, so good for them. All right, I don't have anything else tonight, Mike. Do you have anything else?
No, I mean, I guess I'm just kind of reflecting on, as we look forward here and think about the Lakers winning, I'm still just kind of thinking about where this team falls in terms of how great of a champion are they. And I think they're probably a pretty average champion, in all honesty, because I just don't think the rest of their roster beyond LeBron and AD is as good as some of those Cavs teams, and certainly not as good as some of those Warriors teams. I think last year's final, you think about this team playing against Toronto last year, I think that's an interesting matchup, because I think up and down the roster, Toronto has a better roster. That Toronto team had a better roster than this Lakers team. And, you know, Kawhi was playing at his absolute best. That would have been a fun series, that Toronto team against this Lakers team.
Kawhi robbed us of that, Mike.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
in a sense.
If he would have stayed in Toronto and they would have just run it back the way it was, I think clearly they would have been the favorite, I think, coming in to the season. That's not necessarily to say the way it would have played out, especially in the regular season with Kawhi load managing. They might not have finished first in the East, but they finished.
Is there any doubt they would have beat the Bucks, though? I don't have any doubt in that. Bucks didn't even get there, I guess.
I think they would have beat the Bucks. And I don't know. This Heat team, it's interesting because you just think about looking forward to next year and what these teams are all going to be and who's going to be title contenders. And you look at the Final Four in the league this year, and you had the Lakers in Denver, and you had Miami and Boston. Are those four teams going to be favored to be the top four teams in the league next year?
I mean, I don't think Denver is.
I don't know. You think Miami is? You think Boston is? I mean, you look at the East. Philly now has Doc Rivers, so maybe they figure something out. Milwaukee, regardless of whatever you think of them as a playoff team, they're going to be a regular season monster again next year, no matter what you say. Brooklyn is going to get back Durant and Kyrie. The Warriors in the West are going to be back with Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins, and whoever the number two pick ends up being. They're going to be right back in the hunt. So I think there's a lot of interesting things moving forward when we see. Did you hear Bradley Beal bought a house in Los Angeles?
Oh, great. Here we go.
So where's Bill Cowher's also got a house in Strongsville.
Does he? All right. Well, Bill Cowher, man, he's going to come and
You've never heard that before?
No, I heard that at some point.
Okay, he doesn't really have a house in Strongsville.
Back a long time ago. But anyway, I just think that you look at where all these teams are, and I don't think there's any team that you can say definitively, like I don't look at the Lakers and the Heat as being locks to get back to the finals next year.
No, I don't think you can. Which team would you have a better chance? I would say the Lakers, right?
Oh, yeah, the Lakers, because I think the Lakers have a better opportunity to retool. They're going to re-sign Davis to whatever extension or 1-1 or whatever he and LeBron are deciding they're going to do. And then I don't know what the rest of their contract situation. I think I remember reading or hearing that this summer they're not going to have a ton of money, but the season after this is when they'll be able to have, because that's when I think LeBron's contract will be up. And they could then potentially go out and sign somebody else, I think, first, and then re-sign LeBron after they sign free agent X, whoever free agent X might be. So next year they might run it back with a similar team and maybe make some changes around the fringes. But the following summer is the summer when they could potentially make some noise and do some things. So, yeah I would expect the Lakers to be the more likely team to get back here. I think the Heat, although they're good, I still think that those top four teams in the East
any given time, any given moment, I think any of those teams probably could have made it through. And then I think you throw Philly into that mix too. And then next year you got Brooklyn. So I think next year in the East, you probably have six teams that are going to think they have a legitimate chance to make the NBA Finals. So we'll see.
Well, Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case. Well, it's looking like your prediction is right about I'm reading and hearing a lot more things about late January for restarting the season.
I've been hearing, I don't even know if I want to say this. This might be terrible. I've been reading stuff that's saying middle of February, beginning of March, because they don't want to start the season without having fans. And I just don't know that they're going to have fans before then. I mean, I don't know. There's so many unknowns here. I don't know. And yeah, I don't want to get into the whole coronavirus and I'll just discuss that and figure it out, because no one knows. I mean, I think that's the bottom line. Is.
I agree. Yeah,
so,
agreed.
And they don't want to do a bubble again, though. I'm pretty certain that's the case.
Yeah, they want to avoid that at all costs. So I would guess that if they have to push it back, they have to push it back. There's still clearly some things that they got to work out and figure out in terms of competing with other sports. And you have the Olympics looming, and they want to participate in that. So I don't know. I think it comes down to, for me, are they going to permanently change the schedule to be where they're playing through the summer and the NBA finals are either in August or September, just forever moving forward? Or are they trying to make it temporary and get back to the old schedule? I think that's going to dictate, because if you're going to switch the schedule, or you're thinking about permanently switching the schedule so that the NBA finals are always at the end of August, then I think you clearly, I mean, why wouldn't you just delay it and start to get on that rotation? But if you're going to try to go next season accelerated and then the following year get back to your regular season, you know, your regular schedule that they've always been on, where you're starting practice, you know, in October, and, you know, playing those first games around October 25th, 26th, then that starts getting really tight again, where you're up against the same thing you're up against this year, where you're going to finish in August and then you're going to turn around and have a month off and try to come back and start training camp in October.
Yep.
That's going to be tough on guys. So I think they're going to look long and hard at what they want to do long term and then figure it out from there. And I think that'll dictate, to me, that's what will dictate whether or not they start the season closer to the end of this one, or they push it back a little bit further, what they're going to do with the permanent schedule. So, and I'm sure the fans being in the arenas play a part in it, but ultimately 10 years from now, the monetary hit that they take for most of these teams isn't going to make a whole lot of difference, but this change in the schedule certainly could. So,
yep. We'll see what happens. So, and like I said, we're just really speculating more than anything. And, you know, next week, I don't know what we're going to be talking about. I don't know.
Coaching moves, probably.
I would guess. I mean,
and we could start talking some draft and maybe start talking some free agency. I mean, I really have no idea at this point. I'm not up to speed on free agency, and I've looked at a little bit of the draft stuff, but not a whole lot. So we'll have to start looking at those two things a little bit harder. Sure. And probably then the league will officially iron out what that's going to look like and when those dates are and put everything down in writing so that teams understand what's going to happen, and then we'll go from there.
Sounds good to me, Mike.
All right, I think we're done for tonight. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. We will be back with our regularly scheduled episode on late Thursday night, early Friday morning. And then we'll be back with our Game 5, possibly NBA Finals wrap up on late Friday night or early Saturday morning. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.